How powerful is the Cox Network? So powerful that one day, the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network. With gig speeds everywhere, it's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
Sail into summer in New Jersey, where sea breezes drift along iconic sunny shores. Stroll boardwalks or soar high on the rides. Take time out to breathe in the great outdoors. Treat yourself. Shop, dine, dive into history, the arts and culture. From dazzling winning cities to charming towns in the countryside. Find it all at visitnj.org.
Hey, really the only thing that gon' be normal is distribution. Normal folks gon' infuse some. Optimize your lineups and you feed the rest, you mute them. Turning it up, these numbers are loud. Peeping this game from a nimbus is wild. Making it rain while I embrace all this risk, I'm insane. Talking about that best bill, I'm the best best till. Into the next world, guess I got next still. Best bill, I'm the best rest till. Into the next world, guess I got next still. Hey. Really the only thing that gon' be normal is distribution. Normal folks gon' infuse some. Optimize your lineups in your.
And welcome into the Best Bell Fantasy Football Podcast and live stream. I'm Bradley Stalder. You can follow me on Twitter at FFStalder. Tonight, I'm going to be doing a mock draft using PFF Mock Draft Simulator. I'm going to be doing four rounds, and I'm going to focus on offensive players and their fantasy impacts, especially based on projected landing spot from this mock draft. And also their trends. We'll talk about a little bit how these players are trending as we approach the end of March. So, of course, if you like the content, you find this helpful tonight, make sure that you hit that red subscribe button. It really is helping the channel. We're almost at that coveted 1,000 subscribers. This community has grown so much over the last year, and I'm just so happy that you're able to be a part of this experience tonight. And also, all the other content, the almost 2,000 videos I put up over the last year, check them out. And let's get to it. So if you're not familiar with PFF's mock draft simulator, you can go to pff.com and you can find in their tools the mock draft simulator. And it does just that. It simulates the NFL draft based on, you know, the picks that each team has. And there are certain settings you can have because, of course, this is a simulator and there's variables. There's obviously public perception versus how PFF has these players graded. There's care for positional value. So, of course, quarterbacks are pretty valuable, but so are other positions and that are not as fantasy relevant. So we want to put a little bit more for positional care. We tend to see teams care about quarterbacks more and running backs less throughout our experiences over the last couple of years. But what's most important, I think, is that teams do draft for need. So we're putting that as very, very strong, the highest that we can put at. And I don't want any randomness. There was a draft a couple of weeks ago where CJ Stroud ended up going in the fourth round, and that was like uber random. And I accidentally put this on random, like the most, the highest level of randomness. And that's not what we want to make this a satisfactory experience for you. So this is how I'm setting up the settings. Obviously, if you want to toggle yourself and experience this yourself, you can do that. I'm going to change the speed down to slow and to four rounds, because once we get after round four, it's very difficult for us to find fantasy relevant players. Do these players happen? Absolutely. Like, we can look at fifth round, sixth round, seventh round players, Tom Brady, right? But there are very low chances that these types of players hit, because NFL teams do their scouting. They see the film. They go in person. They do the testing. And they've evaluated that these are the top 120 or so players. And outside of that, there is a diminishing skill set, or there's more project involved for these players. So we're only going to look at the first four rounds. Are there going to be other fantasy relevant players that emerge from rounds 5, 6, and 7? Possibly. But for tonight's exercise, that's not what we're going to focus on. We're just going to focus on rounds 1 through 4. Also, just for the sake of time as well, we want to center our focus on the fantasy relevant offensive players in rounds 1 through 4, identifying their trends and talking about maybe the landing spots for these particular players based on this mock draft. Now, we'll try to make sense of it if something doesn't fit quite right, but nevertheless, we're going to get it started. We're going to enter the draft, and the Panthers are on the clock after that trade with the Chicago Bears, and we're going to start the draft. But before I do, there is a capability in this mock draft simulator to have trades. I'm going to assume there are no trades. It just, it muddles up the exercise that we're going to do today. So let's click the start draft button, and Panthers are on the clock. I will draft tonight as the Panthers. You can draft as all the teams if you'd like, or only select teams. That's up to you. So we're going to go with CJ Stroud. I think that is the consensus right now, is drafting CJ Stroud. And we'll pause here just to take a look at CJ Stroud. Obviously one of the top quarterbacks in the class. But what's interesting for me is this trend, and PFF has this nice little trend analysis, average draft position. And we'll look at some of these for each of the offensive players, just to notice where these players have been since last summer. And now that we are at the end of March and about a month away from the NFL draft, where are these players trending? And it's clear that since the start of the new year, since 2023, CJ Stroud is trending upward significantly. It tells you even the percentiles. So his 50th percentile draft rate right now is being at the second spot, but 75th at the first. He's still being drafted 25% of the time in these mock drafts as the first overall pick. And he's falling to fourth only 25% of the time, or 75% of the time or more, he's at least the fourth pick. So CJ Stroud very much trending up after strong pro day, after strong combine performances. So Stroud here can be that top pick. I think he's the favorite right now in most of the sports books. And if you're not familiar with PFF, they also give some pros and cons and reviews. The shades of Ryan Tannehill. I don't know if I would go Ryan Tannehill as the comp, but you have to like that he's in the very high 80s, low 90s PFF passing grades or overall grades here. So there are lots of positives for CJ Stroud. We'll continue with the draft, though. That's the takeaway, is he is trending toward being the number one overall pick in the 2023 NFL draft. All right, the Houston Texans are on the clock, and they select Bryce Young. So we'll also look at Bryce Young. Young also in the low 90s of PFF grade, and his trend has remained pretty much the same. As if you remember, CJ Stroud was trending upward since the new year, since the end of December. Bryce Young hasn't changed almost at all. As you see, he's being drafted either as the first or second overall pick. There's no surprise there for Bryce Young. So we're anticipating that it's going to go Stroud Young or Young Stroud at the top, because the Panthers and the Houston Texans need a quarterback. Let's keep her moving. The Arizona Cardinals are on the clock, and they select Edge, Will Anderson in this mock draft. And then the Colts at 4 in this mock draft select Will Levis. Will Levis, a 90.6 PFF grade back in 2021, but significant drop-off, almost as bad as his 2020 season, 68.6 PFF grade. Let's look at his trends. He made a major jump here at the end of October and was starting to be drafted in the top 10 and consistently has been done so since the end of October. Now, there has been a little bit of bumping up in November, December, but ever since January, we've seen Will Levis hover between 4, 5, and 6. And as you can tell, depending upon who's drafting him where, maybe it's been the Texans, maybe it's been the Raiders, maybe it's the Colts, but the Colts are the most often who are drafting him in these mock drafts right now. It really hasn't dropped very much. He showed at his pro day today 2 60-plus yard throws, which we know Will Levis has one of the strongest arms in the class, but it's a matter of what went wrong in Kentucky in 2022. Why are there these red flags? And is it worth him being drafted that early and then forced into a starting role right away? If he's drafted by Indianapolis, he'll be competing with Gardner Minshew for that starting spot. I like Gardner Minshew, but I think that if Gardner is going to be the starter to start, like, just let Will Levis sit for a year. That's what I'm a big proponent of, and I have been for months. You can roll back the tape. I've been saying Will Levis, he's got some major tools, but he should not be shoved in week one, week two, week three, because we need to be able to find out, like, and get him some reps. Can he make step forward? That is a big question for me. Like, there are just a lot of red flags. So we need those to be alleviated and eliminated. And it can't happen right away because we don't have that trust at this point. So if the Colts draft Will Levis at 4, I hope that he sits behind Gardner Minshew for the majority of 2023. So that he can learn the pace of the game. He can make accurate passes. He can get comfortable in the offense. He can learn how Frank Reich wants to run the offense. Would run the offense. Frank Reich would be CJ Stroud with the Panthers. But nevertheless, Will Levis at 4. The Indianapolis Colts probably do need the quarterback, but we will see if the NFL views Will Levis the same as some of the film bros have during the 2022 season. Let's see what the Seahawks do at 5. Okay, the Seahawks take Jalen Carter, defensive interior, Devin Witherspoon by the Lions at 6. Anthony Richardson gets taken by the Vegas Raiders. And we've seen progressive growth from Anthony Richardson over the last 3 years. His deep grade is one of the best, 93.1, but his pressure grade, pretty below average. So let's look at his trends. And it's clear that Anthony Richardson he's catapulted himself into this top 10 conversation. Way back last summer, he was being projected as a third round pick in the NFL draft. Makes a major jump at the start of the college football season, and then makes another jump in November, mid-November. And then, of course, here we see that there begins to be a little bit of hype for Anthony Richardson, eventually getting himself into 8, 9, 13 are his 75th, 50th, and 25th percentile. So he's pretty much going to be a top 12 pick. And then over the last month or so, he's put himself in a position where he's falling to pick number 6, below pick number 6 less than 25% of the time. So Anthony Richardson putting himself, and Richardson right now at 7, unlikely. So you have to wonder, is Seattle going to take Richardson? Are the Lions in position to take Anthony Richardson? Will he really go to the Vegas Raiders at 7? Because they have Jimmy Garoppolo right now. It was signed to a $72 million deal. We will see where Anthony Richardson lands, but if he goes to the Raiders, this is once again another spot where he could sit for a whole year, learn the offense, and then the Raiders don't have a ton committed to Jimmy Garoppolo in years 2 and 3 in the contract. It's mostly $30 million-ish guaranteed that first year, and then not much money guaranteed years 2 and 3 in this contract. So Anthony Richardson could land there. That might be an interesting spot. Let's see who the Falcons take at 8. Because if Anthony Richardson falls, he could be an option for the Falcons at 8. And Quentin Johnston, drafted at 9th overall. We do know the Bears need a wide receiver. And Quentin Johnston, we saw a little bit of progression. Still not a very high PFF overall grade. But there are some positives. I mean, a pretty good grade versus man coverage, very strong yards per route run. And we saw some pretty good weeks, right? Some 90 and 87 grades and even a 73 grade against a tough Michigan defense. So let's take a look at the trends for Quentin Johnston. Okay, so he's pretty much stayed as a top 15 pick since mid-November. But what this little drop had to do with is the NFL Combine, right? There were some concerns about Quentin Johnston and some of the Combine measurables that he had, but still didn't drop him too much. Still expected to be a top 15 pick, but in this mock draft, 9 to the Bears, it's probably because of their wide receiver need. So if Quentin Johnston gets top 10 draft capital, that's in the same realm as Chris Olave. That's the same realm as Garrett Wilson. And while I don't think that they're the same type of prospect profiles, the draft capital is so significant that you have to think the Bears are going to be using Quentin Johnston right away in the rotations. The Bears would have DJ Moore, Darnell Mooney, Chase Claypool, and now Quentin Johnston, along with Cole Kmet and Robert Tonyan and you know, Khalil Herbert, Donta Foreman. So the Bears have a lot more usable pieces on offense, and if they draft Quentin Johnston top 10, that would be a big move, and it would be pretty damning for Chase Claypool, I think, because really, the Bears are not going to move away from Darnell Mooney unless they trade Mooney away. And then it's more of an investment in Chase Claypool. But, you know, Darnell Mooney was one of the most efficient wide receivers last year in terms of yards per route run, targets commanded, win rate versus man coverage. Like Darnell Mooney, a very respectable wide receiver. Problem is that when he played most of his games with Justin Fields, it was low volume passing. So Quentin Johnston, if he lands on the Bears, could force another wide receiver out, whether it's Chase Claypool or Darnell Mooney. Let's keep her moving. The Eagles are on the clock here, and they select Jackson Smith and Jigba. That would also be very interesting. The Eagles have Devonta Smith. They just traded for and signed an extension of A.J. Brown. So getting Jackson Smith and Jigba to play in the slot, I think, would mostly impact Dallas Goedert, because Smith and Jigba is, I think, the better prospect than Quentin Johnston. But if the Eagles take him, that may hamper his upside to be able to access, especially year one, because he has legitimate target hogs with Brown and Smith. Maybe Smith is the one who's traded. Or Goddard is traded. One of those guys is probably going to be pushed out unless it's Jackson Smith and Jigba who's going to be taking the hit. So if he lands on the Eagles, that could be problematic, frankly. I don't like that. I would not like that landing spot, but we have to like top 10 draft capital for Jackson Smith and Jigba. It's probably that Dallas Goedert is moved or Devonta Smith is moved if the Eagles don't want to sign Smith to a long-term extension. All right. Now on the clock, the Tennessee Titans draft a tackle. Christian Gonzalez falls all the way to the Texans at 12. Kiancey out of Pittsburgh falls to 13. Van Ness for the Patriots goes at 14. And then Dalton Kincaid, tight end out of Utah, the Utah Utes, goes to Green Bay. And Robert Tonyan, remember, the starting tight end over the last couple of years, signed as a free agent in Chicago. So the Packers have Tyler Davis and Josiah DeGuara as their tight ends. And it's clear that Dalton Kincaid is a playmaker, one of the best PFF receiving grade among tight ends last year, 91.8 receiving grade, top tier yards per route run. This is a dude, 6'3", 246. And let's look at his trends because it's clear that he is trending upward significantly. He was projected at the end of November to be a back end second round pick and now has worked his way all the way up to being a back end first round pick and now being mocked even here in this mock draft as a mid first round pick to the Green Bay Packers. And the reason for the dip here has to do with the combine. Dalton Kincaid has not really tested at the combine. And I think he pushed off his pro day as well as he's been dealing with injury. So it's clear that he's most drafted by the Green Bay Packers here in the mid rounds, but Chicago Bears also are in the mix and the Carolina Panthers. So Dalton Kincaid is one of the players that I think would be fantasy relevant right away if he's drafted by the Packers. There's not a lot of receiver options, you know, for the Green Bay Packers. You've got Christian Watson. You've got Romeo Doubs. And then, like, who else? Really, like, it drops off. And if you're investing a mid-first-round pick on a receiving tight end, Dalton Kincaid immediately steps into, like, a mid-pack tight end two for volume, if not a high-end tight end too, and extremely undervalued. So from a fantasy perspective, this would be a one of the better landing spots because he would probably start pretty immediately. Josiah DeGuara is not a starting tight end, at least at this point in his career. Tyler Davis got some hype last summer, but hasn't made anything of it. So Dalton Kincaid would be an intentional addressing of that need at tight end for the Green Bay Packers. Let's keep her moving. Washington takes Brian Branch, safety out of Alabama. The Steelers take Joey Porter Jr. That would not be surprising. The Lions take cornerback Deontay Banks. Paris Johnson goes at 19 to the Bucks. Nolan Smith to the Seahawks. Zay Flowers goes to the Chargers in this mock draft out of Boston College. He just had his pro day today and crisp routes. I would encourage you check out some of the tape for Zay Flowers. He just looks so good out there. And not a great receiving grade, like obviously above average, trending the right way and that's one of the signs for me is has a player progressed during college? And you would expect that players do. But if they regress significantly, that's a red flag. And Zay Flowers did jump up, you know, in PFF grade, overall grade. And that's, we like to see that. So let's look at his trends as well. Obviously, Zay Flowers getting a lot of love in January, making the jump from a projected third round pick to a first round pick. Okay, and he's consistently being drafted in the late teens, early 20s. Okay, it has tailed off just a little bit, but 50th percentile draft position is respectable, still first round wide receiver. So we have to like that for Zay Flowers. I like drafting Zay Flowers late in my best ball drafts. And if he lands on the Chargers, it may be a nice fit for him to play either, you know, rotating on the outside opposite of Mike Williams or even mentoring behind Keenan Allen. I think this addressing of wide receiver, it would be critical. A critical hit for Josh Palmer. If you remember, Palmer was one of the worst graded PFF wide receivers in the NFL last year for those who had, I think, 80 or 90 total targets. Josh Palmer was bad last year. Yes, he got tons of targets, but he didn't do anything with them fantasy-wise. Like, we didn't see, you would have expected higher spike weeks from a guy who's commanding 8, 9, 10 targets in a game, and especially with Keenan Allen and Mike Williams out. So I think that this is a reasonable addressing of the wide receiver 3 position and perhaps addressing of a future wide receiver 2 position if Keenan Allen moves on or if he retires or something like that. You know, find the Chargers may move on from him in, after 2023. But Zay Flowers would be a nice little add to the Chargers receiving core, and especially because we don't know who's going to be the starting tight end for the Chargers. Like, is Gerald Everett going to be back? Is it going to be Donald Parham? So Zay Flowers may be that receiving replacement for the tight end if the Chargers decide, you know what, we're just going to go with more of a blocking tight end type as Zay Flowers rotates as the third or fourth wide receiver. Okay. Miles Murphy goes off for Baltimore at pick 22. Brian Breesy out of Clemson, back-to-back Clemson picks, 22 and 23, first round. Jordan Addison goes off at pick 25 to the Giants. And it seems like the Giants just love their slot receivers, right? You know, so Jordan Addison, not known for being a contested catch guy. 76 grade versus man coverage is fine. But he's 5'11", 173, right? Jamison Crowder, Paris Campbell, Sterling Shepard, Wandell Robinson, Darren Waller, all expected to operate out of the slot. And you're expecting Jordan Addison, who's 5'11", 173, to be playing on the outside opposite of Darius Slayton. That just wouldn't make sense, I think. So I like Addison as a prospect. I think that he got, an unfair shake with the hamstring injury during the combine, but Jordan Addison, yeah, has significantly dropped. As you can tell, since January, he was being drafted as a top 14 pick or so, and now has fallen to the bottom of the first round. We thought that we saw some rebounding to a mid first round pick, but that combine really, really tanked him. So hopefully, you know, this is an opportunity for maybe not the New York Giants to select Jordan Addison, but perhaps another wide receiver. I would have preferred, you know, we'll see, maybe another wide receiver, but there is a lot of receiving needs here in the first round. And I don't know if all of those needs are going to be addressed by the wide receivers that are available here in the first. Okay, so I wouldn't like the fit for Jordan Addison there. Josh Downs gets first round draft capital. Once again, Josh Downs, 5'9", 171, small dude, very dynamic, one of the highest PFF receiving grades in the 2023 class. 2.17 yards per out run is fine. 72% contested catch rate is very, very good. And we see progression. That's what you like to see from receivers, is year over year growth and progression. Okay. And we see some other spike weeks as well. Played well against Wake Forest, played well against Clemson. Okay. So we have to like Josh Downs. And if he gets first round draft capital and goes to the Dallas Cowboys, oh yeah, I think that would be a major, major upgrade over whoever is playing behind CD Lamb And perhaps by the end of 2023, Josh Downs would overtake Brandon Cooks as the wide receiver two. But for right now, Downs would be the wide receiver three on this team if he was selected by Dallas. Now, Dallas might also be in the field for a tight end. That's a possibility. So Josh Downs is would take on, I think, that target share. Maybe, you know, you draft a tight end in the second round. The tight end is pretty good this year, but addressing Josh, the wide receiver position with Josh Downs would be a clear indication that you need to be in on Dak Prescott this year, because you've got CeeDee Lamb. You've got a respectful number two in Brandon Cooks, not a high upside with Brandon Cooks. Let's not get carried away. He's still 30 years old, but he's not bad. And then Josh Downs would be a very, very significant pick. All right, let's keep going. The Buffalo Bills, Broderick Jones tackle, DeJuan Jones tackle, Will McDonald the fourth to the Saints, Michael Mayer to the Eagles. And this would definitely push out Dallas Goedert. I talked about, you know, earlier in the draft that Jaxon Smith-Njigba was mocked to the Eagles. And if the Eagles address tight end as well, goodbye. Goodbye, Dallas Goedert, for sure. So Michael Mayer going at 30th, getting first-round draft capital out of Notre Dame, would be the move if the Eagles are looking to move on from Dallas Goedert. Let's keep it moving. Bijan Robinson drafted at pick 32, first pick in the second round to the Steelers, would tank all of Najee Harris. Like, this would be such a suboptimal move. Like, I would be surprised that other teams like at the back end of the first round don't take Bijan. I would be surprised if Bijan does not get into the first round. But let's look at the trends.
How powerful is the Cox Network? So powerful that one day the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network. With gig speeds everywhere. It's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
Jesse Kelly here. I'm not a financial expert, but I do look for solid investment opportunities for investment growth and protection against loss. I do know that putting all your eggs in one basket is not a good financial plan. Securing your IRA or 401k with real gold and silver with Oxford Gold is as easy as 1, 2, 3. Or you can buy precious metals and keep them in your safe. One app, one call, and you pick your precious metals. Call 833-901-COIN. That's 833-901-COIN.
I mean, we saw Bijan jump up to pick 19 or so in January. And then as we get into the beginning of February, falling down into pick 27 or 30. So pick 26 seems to be about where he's going. The Lions, the Cowboys, and the Eagles are the most commonly drafting teams for Bijan Robinson, and we know that he is that generational talent. He's the running back one in this class, and it's clear with that progression year over year of PFF grade, the gap grade is phenomenal, the elusive rating is phenomenal, zone grade, everything, missed tackles forced, top in the NCAA. But for him to land in Pittsburgh would be extraordinarily detrimental to both him and detrimental to Najee Harris. So Bijan, like, these are the things that, like, we don't want to talk about, but if he lands on somewhere like that, like Pittsburgh, where maybe the Steelers say, you know what, we want to lean on the run game. We see Najee Harris as 1A and Bijan as 1B, and we're just going to ride it out, and we don't trust Kenny Pickett, frankly. You know, I think that would be a stupid move from a GM perspective, but you just never know how these teams are really feeling about their players, especially how Kenny Pickett like didn't take that next step forward. Like there were some nice game-winning drives at the end of the season, but he didn't consistently put up big time numbers, even with Deontay Johnson and George Pickens out there. So Bijan Robinson at 32 would be a clear direction change from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's keep her moving. The Houston Texans go Ojulari. I've seen him drafted at the beginning of the second round a lot. Forbes by the Cardinals. Mazi Smith out of Michigan. Okay, we see a few more edge and edge rushers, guards. Cam Smith out of South Carolina goes to the Raiders. And the Panthers are on the clock. And, you know, we're in the second round, and the Panthers have addressed a lot of needs this offseason. But if they go C.J. Stroud, they're probably going to be looking for a wide receiver. Okay. And if we're looking for wide receivers, like Nathaniel Dell is possibly there. Okay, I'm scrolling through and I'm looking, and I don't see a lot of others. The Panthers also need edge rushers. Okay, and we'll select the edge rusher out of USC to just fill the gap there. But we'll see the Titans select Nathaniel Dell. And Tank Dell, Nathaniel Dell out of Houston, 80-plus PFF grade each of the last two seasons. We've seen huge jumps from Nathaniel Dell in terms of like he was being a fourth round pick in most mocks in January, beginning of January, and then jumps up all the way into the mid second round until most recently between February and March, dropping down into the mid third round. Now jumping back up a little bit because of probably his pro day, but dropping down from because of the combine and other wide receivers getting a lot of love. Nathaniel Dell, you know, is 5'8", 165. So if you've got Treylon Burks on the outside and who else? Like Chig Okonkwo and Nathaniel Dell for Ryan Tannehill. Like it's going to be Derrick Henry show. Okay. So there we go. Nathaniel Dell. Mocked pick 41 to Tennessee because Tennessee does need wide receiver help. They've got who else, right? Nick Westbrook-Ikhine? That's not going to do it. So Nathaniel Dell at 41. Comedic Genius jumping in with the fire emoji. Thanks. Appreciate you jumping in, Comedic Genius. Okay, let's continue with this mock draft simulator. And if you like the content, make sure you've subscribed. Hit that red subscribe button. Ooh, okay. So the Jets here in this mock take Tanner McKee. Tanner McKee was being drafted a lot at the end of the first round. Okay, let's take a look at his trends. Yeah, he's dropped significantly due to the combine, due to pro days, etc. Most drafted by the Saints. That was pretty common up until the Saints addressed that position with signing Derek Carr. So that's also another reason why, because it's clear that like, there's a clear top four, and then Tanner McKee has been drafted. So looking at McKee, 6'6", right? Analysis, shades of Kerry Collins. That's funny to me. But looking at his trends, like obviously progressing as a player in college over the last three seasons, but only at like above average or below average slightly in almost all of his grades. So not really a major standout Tanner McKee, but could be a quality backup. I don't know what to make of the Jets drafting him in the second round. Like, does Aaron Rodgers not go to the Jets in this mock? I'm not sure. I wish I knew. Let's keep going, because we're in the middle of the second round, and I want to do four rounds with y'all tonight. Okay, Luke Musgrave goes to the Green Bay Packers, and the Packers really do need tight end. But in this mock, they're getting both Dalton Kincaid and Luke Musgrave. Musgrave put on an absolute show at the combine. Okay. And that's, very much reflected here in being a mid second round pick. Like he was trending downward, and then the combine happened. Boom. He's been just fine. We've seen his 75th percentile jump up even to high second round pick. And the Packers are mocked. Look, the Packers are mocked to draft either a tight end in the first or second round. And I'm just over here as the Packers fan, not knowing what to make of that, because those are not going to be the impact players that you immediately need if the Packers want to be competing this year. The North is wide open, right? The Bears are still not great. The Vikings are vulnerable, and the Lions are unproven. Like they're 9-8, and there's a lot of positivity trending their way, but a lot of things need to come together for the Lions as well. So if I were the Packers, I don't know why I would be, doubling up on tight end, but nevertheless, here we are. Andre Carter from Army goes to the Patriots here. Weipler from Ohio State, mid-second round. Stevenson, Miami, goes to the Lions. We see Sam Laporta go to the Buccaneers, pick 50. The Bucs only have Cade Otton because they've released Cameron Brate. So Sam Laporta might be a nice little piece in that tight end room in Tampa. Okay, the Seahawks draft an edge after Bergeron goes to the Miami in this mock. Antonio Johnson out of A&M goes to the Bears. Sanders out of Arkansas goes to the Chargers. Yeah, we see a lot of defensive players now going off. Tippmann from Wisconsin, the center, goes to the Giants. And finally, we get another running back. Jahmyr Gibbs at pick 58 goes to the Dallas Cowboys. And I think that this would be fine for Tony Pollard, right? Pollard was able to put up top 10 tight running back numbers. Even with Ezekiel Elliott there, Zeke was putting up pretty consistently like flex-worthy fantasy numbers. And Pollard, Zeke was healthy and got a healthy amount of touches in the week where Tony Pollard was the number one running back that week. So even if Jahmyr Gibbs lands in Dallas, right, we see pretty consistently Gibbs at the 80s of PFF rushing grade, great zone grade, great elusive rating, okay, fine yards after contact per attempt, like that's fine. But let's look at the trends. He's been all over the place, right? We see Jahmyr Gibbs being drafted as high as the top of the second round, but then dropping all the way down to, heck, even the top of the third round, but has worked his way up since January. So we've seen a little bit of drop off over the last couple weeks, but still doesn't fall out of the mid to back end of the second round. And so if Jahmyr Gibbs gets second round draft capital on a good offense, we have to be in on Jahmyr Gibbs. We like him, and that landing spot would still be good in Dallas, even with Tony Pollard there on the franchise tag. All right, let's keep her moving. If you like the content, make sure you hit that red subscribe button. Appreciate all of you jumping in tonight. Michael Wilson. Whoa. Let's pause for a second. Out of Stanford gets round two draft capital. Let's take a look at this dude. 72 receiving grade. Did progress from 2021 to 2022. 6'2", 213. Redshirt senior. He's 23, so a little bit older. And has started to come on as of late. As you notice, he wasn't being drafted almost at all until the start of February, where he's been consistently getting round three draft capital. Okay. And so looking at these stats, right, not a lot of data. We're only looking at six total games, but played decently well, like three of his six games, at least a 70 receiving grade. Okay. So not a lot of games played, good height, good weight, But we'll see if Michael Wilson, who goes to the Eagles yet again, the Eagles are really hammering wide receivers. They really must not want Devonta Smith and Dallas Goedert if they're drafting Michael Mayer in this mock and drafting Jaxon Smith-Njigba and Michael Wilson in these mocks. So nevertheless, this is what happens when you put it on these simulators, but you at least have some conversation points of what happens if this happens, you know. And Michael Wilson should be someone on your radar who's going to get day two draft capital based on all these mocks that have been happening over the last couple months. So Michael Wilson, a name to know out of Stanford. Let's keep it moving. Kansas City on the clock, and they go with Foskey out of Notre Dame. All right. And then we see a few other defensive interior linemen go off. Charbonnet. Ooh, I love that landing spot in Arizona. Zach Charbonnet out of UCLA getting day two draft capital. That's pretty meaningful. Early third round. Only James Conner is there right now, realistically. Like the Cardinals re-signed Corey Clement, but that's nothing. Charbonnet would be a major addition. And remember, this GM is new and has no loyalty to James Conner. So it could be within the first 5 weeks of the season that we see Charbonnet like take over this Cardinals backfield. Because let's look at what Charbonnet did last year. 93.6 rushing grade. We see consistent growth over the last 3 years. Strong elusive rating. Great gap grade. Phenomenal yards after contact. And all green or light green grades every game. This was just a consistently good player. And if he ends up going to the Cardinals, especially for the first 4 or 5 weeks, right? That could be really good for his fantasy value, because we saw what James Conner was able to do last year when Kyler Murray was out. And we expect that Kyler Murray is going to miss at least 4 games. I think that's the conservative at minimum 4 games. I mean, Joe Burrow missed none with his ACL tear, and he only injured his knee like 3 or 4 weeks earlier than Kyler, but nevertheless, we'll see how many games Kyler Murray misses. And if Murray misses 4 games, 6 games, Charbonnet and Connor could be leaned on pretty heavily. And as we know, Connor has the injury history. So Charbonnet could land in a very, very juicy spot. This could be Kenneth Walker 2.0 from a fantasy perspective, where Charbonnet could get into that mid-pack running back two, high-end running back two, right at the peak of the season. And that's exactly what we want. And Charbonnet has been drafted pretty consistently at the end of the second round in most of these mocks. That's what we're looking at. Drafted most by the Lions. I don't like that, but I think that'll change once the David Montgomery free agency simmering has happened. Dallas also drafting him a lot in Chicago. So Chicago addressed the running back position with Donta Foreman. I don't think they would be in it, but I could see Dallas being a possible landing spot as well if the Arizona Cardinals don't take Zach Charbonnet. All right, let's keep going. The Broncos are on the clock, and they take linebacker Trenton Simpson out of Clemson. Darnell Wright out of Tennessee goes off the board. Jamie Robinson of Florida State goes to L.A., the LA Rams. Ringo out of Georgia goes to the Raiders. Phillips goes to the Saints. And A.T. Perry out of Wake Forest goes to Tennessee. Once again, Tennessee addressing this wide receiver room with a wide receiver who's had an 82 PFF grade or higher each of the last 2 seasons, 83.
How powerful is the Cox Network? So powerful that one day the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network. With gig speeds everywhere. It's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
Receiving grade, great yards per route run, great against man coverage. A.T. Perry, 6'3", 198, so a little underweight, for what you'd expect someone who's 6'3", and he's also an older prospect at 23. He'll be almost 24 at the start of the season. And let's look at the trends. So A.T. Perry was pretty consistently being a second-round pick, and then whoop, dropped off, but now is trending back upwards as a back-end third-round pick. Most drafted by the Bears, and the Bears really haven't addressed the wide receiver position outside of DJ Moore. So they could be addressing it with another wide receiver. Kansas City as well and New England are also on the radar for A.T. Perry. Let's keep going. The Texans have this third round pick and they select a center out of Minnesota, Schmitz, Rashee Rice, third round pick out of SMU. This is the pick that the Browns got in addition to Elijah Moore for their second round pick. And Rashee Rice out of SMU progressed each year, which we like to see. Again, as we look, we expect players to get better each year. If a wide receiver is not getting better, he better be elite, right? If he's getting worse, then you got to raise your eyebrows and say, what was he doing? Why was he not progressing? Why was he not getting better? And Rashee Rice, a great receiving grade, great yards per route run. And we see some really high ceiling games, but against some low level competition. So, you know, against TCU, didn't have a great game. Against Cincinnati, not a good game. Houston, not even a 70 receiving grade. Let's look at the trends, though. And Rashee Rice has been all over the place, but pretty much ranging from, you know, mid second to mid third round pick. And most often drafted by the Bears, who need wide receiver help, the Green Bay Packers, who could use another receiving option, and the Tennessee Titans, very wide receiver needy. So the Browns select him in this mock draft. And the Browns have wide receivers Amari Cooper, Elijah Moore, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Anthony Schwartz, and David Bell. So Rashee Rice would definitely be pushing out another of those receivers, and I think that would be the final stake in the coffin for David Bell if Rashee Rice goes here. All right, the Atlanta Falcons at pick 75 go Jalen Hyatt. There's a lot of people, very smart people in the industry, people that I respect in the fantasy football industry, who have Jalen Hyatt as the number one wide receiver projected in the class, as a first round pick, as a wide receiver that is going to be very fantasy relevant. I think very fantasy relevant is the way to go, but the problem with Jalen Hyatt is he does have some red flags to his profile. And so you have to wonder, are NFL teams going to take those into account? Or are they just going to be impressed by his speed and his dynamism? We saw, an 85.8 grade against Alabama, right? Holy buckets. Yeah, that Alabama game, Tennessee just absolutely crushed him. And, we see progression from 2021 to 2022. Obviously, a huge jump in yards and yards per reception. Great against man coverage. Great against contested catches down the field. He's a down the field threat. Yards per route run are inflated because of the big plays, but a respectable receiving grade. And he's 6'176", so a little underweight, but decent enough size. 21, an early declare. You have to like that. But we expected him to be just a little bit faster at the combine. So for him to drop, I mean, right now his 50th percentile draft spot is at 46. So midway through the second round. And if he falls to where we have him right now is the third round pick, that would be worrisome for sure. So Jalen Hyatt to the Falcons would be a nice wide receiver two, wide receiver three, a receiving option number three behind Kyle Pitts, behind Drake London. But if the Falcons don't address the quarterback position, we could be in a lot of fantasy trouble yet again. And that's why, that's why I'm out on Kyle Pitts and Drake London for this year. Until the Atlanta Falcons seriously address the quarterback position, I don't see them. I don't see Kyle Pitts and I don't see Drake London returning fantasy value for you. And in this mock draft right here, that's not a serious, we don't see any serious moves by the Falcons. even if, let's say, the Tennessee Titans move on from Ryan Tannehill and Tannehill somehow ends up on the Falcons, I still don't think that that unlocks both Pitts and Drake London. It unlocks one of them. We saw Ryan Tannehill work well with one option, AJ Brown, but we didn't see multiple wide receivers sustained with Ryan Tannehill. So the Falcons need to address that quarterback position with a big time arm. And I don't see it, which is why for right now I'm out on those two receiving options, even if they add a player like Jalin Hyatt as well to stretch the field. You already have some field stretchers. You already have people receiving options that are dynamic down the field. So that's not going to work out too well. I don't like that pick. Okay, Derek Hall goes off out of Auburn. Jordan Battle out of Bama. Darnell Washington. Okay, they're just trolling me now. Green Bay goes with Darnell Washington. Darius Rush, cornerback out of South Carolina, goes to the Pittsburgh. Hendon Hooker. That would be a nice pick in the third round for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I like that pick. Okay, Devin Achane goes to Miami. I wonder how he would fit with Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson if he ends up landing in Miami. Tyler Scott to the Chargers also would be a nice third-round dynamic pick. He's very, very fast. And if we look at Scott, he's progressed over the last few years, great at the contested catch, yards per route run, very respectable. So Scott, who's 5'10", 177, once again underweight, but has been consistently drafted at the end of that third round, could be an option for the Chargers if they don't take a receiver in round two. Like how they're mocked in this one to go round two wide receiver. Okay, so we see some more defensive players go off at this point. Tucker Kraft goes to the New York Giants. Pick 89, Parker Washington to Dallas. Dwayne McBride. Oh, I love Dwayne McBride to the Buffalo Bills. He could be the answer in 2024 if Damian Harris moves on. Because Damian Harris, you know, is... Damian Harris signed a one-year deal with Buffalo Bills to be the between the tackles rusher and probably goal line option. But Dwayne McBride, he is my ride or die for Dynasty. Okay. Dwayne McBride, no matter what, that's what I'm going for. Okay. So I like Dwayne McBride there. He doesn't feel any of that pressure. I like it. It'll be good for him. Okay. Now I've already addressed the edge position and quarterback position. The Panthers, they could go a number of ways. But looking at what they need another wide receiver. And looking at what wide receivers are still available, Kayshon Booty is available. Jaden Reed, Tillman, Marvin Mims are available. And Kayshon Booty, I think, is the move here. High upside pick. Yes, there's downside as well, but Kayshon Booty in the third round, fine. Okay. Tank Bigsby goes off to the Eagles, pick 94. That might be competition for Rashad Penny. Lots of defensive players now still. The Raiders take a tackle out of BYU, Freeland, Jeklin Roy out of LSU. And now we're getting into the fourth round. Shoemaker for the Bears. I don't know why the Bears are taking a fourth round tight end when they have Komet and Tonyan, but maybe long term, just developmentally. Jaden Reed goes to the Colts. If Reed goes to the Colts in the early fourth round, that is interesting to me because you just have Alec Pierce really behind Michael Pittman. So that wide receiver three spot is going to be Reed versus Doolin, right? Because Paris Campbell's moved on. So Jaden Reed would be immediately competing for that wide receiver three spot out of Michigan State. Okay, so we see Wooden from Auburn go off from the Patriots, Pace Jr., Cincinnati. Kendre Miller goes to the Raiders, and that would be pretty damning for Zamir White if, once again, in the fourth round, the Raiders select a running back, and we expected Zamir White to be hitting. But unfortunately, didn't get the opportunity with Josh Jacobs really coming on very strong and getting the franchise tag. So Kendre Miller would be nothing more than a depth piece in Dynasty. Cedric Tillman goes to the Falcons. Falcons really hammering wide receiver. Marvin Mims at wide receiver. Maybe that bumps out Donovan Peoples-Jones. Tyjae Spears goes to the Jets. Maybe Breece Hall insurance. Maybe Michael Carter's moved on from if Tyjae Spears ends up going in the fourth round. There was a lot of chatter during the Senior Bowl of Tyjae Spears going to move in round two. Tyjae Spears going to move in round three. But if he goes round four, yeah, that would not be as good. And the landing spot for the Jets would be a bad one. All right. Yeah, let's throw in Deuce Vaughn to the Panthers. Undersized running back out of Kansas State, but very, very dynamic. The Panthers could use a little bit competition for Chuba Hubbard behind Miles Sanders. Jalen Moreno-Cropper goes round four in this mock. Aiden O'Connell out of Purdue goes to Washington as competition for the number two quarterback role. Trey Palmer on Nebraska. The Chiefs would get an absolute dog. Okay, love me some Trey Palmer and his dog level. I'm sure Cody Carpentier puts him at a 10 out of 10 or whatever his grading scale is. Okay, Jair Brown would go to the Browns. That would be a big. Kuntz goes to the Giants in this mock draft. That would be interesting given the Darren Waller situation. And then the Panthers also here on the clock getting another tight end. Going to need another tight end here. Let's look at who is still available. Yeah, lots of the tight ends have been picked through so far. Let's look at just the best of who's left. Roshan Johnson would be interesting competition. Andrew Voorhees would be an investment. Voorhees tore his ACL during the combine. He was expected to play, get drafted earlier. But the Panthers are in it for the long haul. So it would not surprise me if that is the grade. All right. Hey, thanks for drafting with me, everyone. This was a grade A overall. And so if you draft on PFF, they'll give you a grade at the end. So I got an A. Yay, me. Okay, but if you like the content and find this helpful, make sure you hit that red subscribe button. We're almost at 1K subscribers. This, I hope, has been very helpful for you. Make sure if you want to replay some of these, you can do that. You can also check out, you do mock drafts on your own and toggle through different settings to see. But also, I think the most important part of tonight was looking at the trends of the players and where we've expected them to land based on other mock drafts and maybe explanations as to why they are trending the way that they are. So hopefully this was helpful for you. Once again, my name is Bradley. If you're just tuning in and you're new, I do a lot of fantasy football content. I do best ball, but also a lot of in-season. And I wanted to take some time today to talk with you about the draft and where these players would land and the fantasy impact if they were to land on particular places. So, yeah, hopefully you had a lot of fun drafting with me. If you have questions, you can hit me up on Twitter at FFStalder or at BestBellFantasy. Make sure you subscribe on the YouTube channel right there. That red subscribe button, super helpful. I'll be putting out a lot of player profiles. I'll be doing some live drafts. This weekend, I'm going to be in Cleveland. And that means I'm in Ohio, which means that I'll be doing at least one underdog fantasy draft. So check that out as well. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'll be on my spring break this coming week. And for those who don't know me, I teach as my profession, and I'm an instructional coach as well. So this is our spring break week coming up. And so you'll notice that there's a lot of content being pushed out, hopefully also to get that 1,000 subscribers. That's been something I've been working very hard on for this channel, growing the community, and really, really proud of all of the things I've done with you over the past year. It'll be 1 year on April 20th that I started this channel. And there's some awesome developments. I've got some partnerships lined up, some new podcasts that I'll be putting out over the course of the summer and even into the year. So exciting news, big things coming for Best Bell Fantasy over the next couple months. And until next time, everyone, good luck in the fantasy football streets.
I embrace all this risk, I'm insane. Talking about that best bill, I'm the best, best, best till. Into the next world, guess I got next still. Best bill, I'm the best, best, best till. Into the next world, guess I got next still.
How powerful is the Cox Network? So powerful that one day, the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network. With gig speeds everywhere. It's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
It's Ram season, which means it's time to serve with Ram 1500, Ram 3500, and Ram TRX. Hurry in now for great deals on the trucks that are built to serve. Right now during Ram season, get 10% below MSRP on the purchase of a 2023 Ram 1500 Laramie. Not compatible with lease offers or with any other consumer incentive offers. Contact dealer for details. Take retail delivery by 531-23.